Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on CASM Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. Your report brought to you by the fine folks at Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service, right off I-94 in Avon. This week, we check in with a fellow farm broadcaster, Todd Gleason. He is with the University of Illinois and recently spoke to Joe Jansen, ag economist over there at Illinois. And they're talking about the recently announced bridge payment sort of situation here. And, well, you know, why maybe holding grain could cost farmers down the road. They examine that question and go a little more in depth into the entire scenario. As Todd Gleason joining us this week on your report.
The Trump administration is deploying about $11 billion to crop producers by the end of the month of February through what they're calling a bridge payment. In the past, sometimes when this has happened, that there has been an ad hoc payment, producers have used those payments to not market a crop because they have something on hand in their cash supplies. That may very well not be the best option. We're going to discuss this just a bit with Joe Jansen. He's an agricultural economist from the University of Illinois and has been speaking on the Illinois Farm Economics Summit this week, a tour across the state for winter meetings. Thank you, Joe, for taking some time with us. I know you've been talking with farmers and talking to farmers about payments that come in from the United States government. In the past, what do we know, particularly from the Trump administration's MFP or market facilitation program payments that took place, very similar to what this bridge payment might be?
Going back in history is a helpful guide, I think, in this case. What would farmers do with this money? Well, I think we know that they probably won't adjust production levels, right? That doesn't really change our incentive to plant a crop or not. But I think it can have an influence on marketing decisions, particularly the decision to hold grain for longer into the end of the marketing year. That's what we saw during MFP, the MFP era, the trade aid payments that were made in 2018 and 19. We saw, the farmer being a much bigger holder of the crop in 2018 and 19, particularly for soybeans. Some of that was, yes, market conditions, but some of it, and what, we've done some research to show that, some portion of that additional inventories that were held after harvest those years really were on-farm inventories held directly because of the money that was paid out by the administration for those payments. The question is, will we see that again? And I think, anecdotal evidence suggests that, yes, indeed, that may be the case. That's kind of the farmer's already a pretty large holder from, what we've heard anecdotally. We'll get some confirmatory evidence of that when USDA releases its grain stocks report in January. And the big concern is, what does that do? It kind of narrows the marketing window for the farmer. And the potential is that, you're stuck holding a crop, let's say June and July, with a very short time window in which to get that crop sold before we have a 26 harvest.
So the fear, I suppose, is that because the USDA report in January is comprised of the grain stocks figures, the world agricultural supply and demand estimates, and the final crop production numbers, along with a wheat plantings and acreage figure, that those combined set a tone for the marketplace probably for the first quarter, the first three months really of the year. And if they don't change anything, that producers will have missed opportunities to market a crop because they have decided to hold at this point. And the changes could come, but the tone may very well not change very much.
I don't have a crystal ball into what that report will contain. I just suspect that we will see, higher than normal levels of on-farm inventories of corn and soybeans after this 2025 harvest, which was maybe not as big as we once thought it could be, but it was still a big crop by any measure. And so if we do in fact see that, then, and the farmer is a big holder of corn and beans after harvest, they have a bigger marketing challenge than they would in any other year. And that, presents not a problem, but it presents, you know, like I said, a challenge in terms of how do we get that crop priced and not get pushed into a narrow marketing window where, you know, prices may not be what we would have hoped they would get to, you know, where we would get sort of in terms of that, you know, typical seasonal improvement in price may not be there, given, you know, the big crop, you know, and the big farmer inventories, and then, you know, whatever news we get about the size of the crop elsewhere in the world, principally South America.
Even if USDA were to drop yield on corn by a couple of bushels to the acre, which could happen, many believe it might, it would still be a large crop. And farmers, if they really do have as much inventory on the farm as is expected, potentially, would be considered weak hands, mostly because they'll have a crop in the bin, and they'll have bills that are coming due all along. And so there will be this challenge at that point as to timing and how much time they really have before they need to have more cash in their pocket beyond what's coming from USDA.
That's, again, sort of, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. This marketing challenge is about sort of like combining cash flow needs with, you know, the market pricing. And, you know, the corn market doesn't care about the farmer's cash flow needs too much. If it feels price needs to go lower, and similarly in soybeans, if those markets feel the price needs to go lower to balance supply and demand, the farmer's cash flow needs don't matter. And so that's where we could get, you know, into an unfortunate or, like, you know, less than comfortable situation.
Before I let you go, anything on looking forward into the 2026-27 crop year related to corn and soybeans and marketing?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the one thing we think about is two things we think about. So what's the acreage mix and how does that kind of define the supply situation going into that new 2026 crop year? And we think we'll see, you know, a shift, you know, away from corn towards beans nationally. That tends not to be a huge shift in the state of Illinois because our rotations are relatively fixed. But at the margins, we're gonna play with that. And then the other thing I really think about going into 2026 is, you know, understanding seasonality with, you know, with a new crop year comes sort of a much longer and bigger marketing window. We have, you know, the opportunity to price grain, you know, already if someone wants to, but certainly thinking about making sales in that sort of, say, March to June timeframe, which tends to be the time of the year when new crop pricing for delivery at harvest tends to be the best, should be part of any farmer's marketing strategy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Fellow farm broadcaster Todd Gleason from the University of Illinois joining us here on CASM Radio with details with Joe Jansen. Now, Joe Jansen, an ag economist over at the University of Illinois. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for this Saturday morning. I'm Joe Gill. It's brought to you by Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service.